Welcome to the Art of High Performance Living. I am your host, Iron Mike Stone. We speak with best-selling authors, business leaders, CEOs, entrepreneurs, and the pros that know. Hello, everybody out there. I am Iron Mike Stone, and today I am thrilled, totally thrilled, to have Scott Fisher online. Scott Fisher is the president of SRI, Strategic Resources, Inc. of South Florida. SRI is a full-service advertising agency with clients in the U.S., Singapore, Australia, and London. Scott has over 25 years of marketing and advertising experience across multiple industries, including hospitality, technology, healthcare. Scott has an MBA and a BBA from Georgia State and Stetson University. Scott, welcome to the show.
Great. Happy to be here, Mike.
Cool. So listen, you've got you're running a full service advertising agency. What the heck does that mean?
Well, it's essentially any type of media, branding, anything from social, digital, TV, radio, print, anything that you take your message out to the marketplace. So we can do anything from small branding projects all the way up to full-blown campaigns, focusing primarily in the restaurant space. That's really where we sort of gravitated to over the last few years. But we're like any other advertising agency around. You know, bring us a project and we're always right on top of it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know that. Now, I'm going to take a unusual approach on this interview with you, and I'm going to bounce around back and forth only because I know a little bit about you. So I think in the end it'll make sense, but it may appear like I'm moving through different timelines. Okay. One of the things I want to start with, and one of the reasons I'm so thrilled to have you on the show, is because you are a living, breathing example of the LP Jacks motto that we adhere to. And that is where you're living your passion, you're living your dream, you're out there doing it, and you're not worried if it's, if you're working or playing, we're leaving it to others to decide what it is. You're just living your vision. And that's one of the things I've respected about you, and I was so excited to get you on the show for. So for that, let's just talk a little bit about, tell me a little bit about your, you know, running the company and an average day for you. You know, do you get dressed and go into the office and punch a time clock and sit down at a desk and sit there for 8 hours, or what's your day like?
Well, usually I do get dressed. I mean, you know, it's smart. Sometimes maybe not. it's funny. I live a very unique high octane lifestyle. I don't work traditional hours. My team does not work traditional hours. We have creative people overseas. We have people on the West Coast, East Coast, and all over the place. We have a really unique model where a lot of the people that work with us are independent contractors. So they have their own lifestyle and their own things that they have going on. And we all understand each other, which is very unique. And that's really what has made this such an incredible experience for me, is that if I decide I wanted to go to the gym at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can do that. And that's why this LP Jacks thing has been so really spot on for me, is because living my life the way that I want to live it and being able to sort of move in and out of work versus play, it's, you got to have discipline to do it. But if you can, it really makes an unbelievable lifestyle. Again, discipline is the key with me, because you can get a little bit caught up in the fun and not the work, but it's really balance. But a typical day is getting up early in the morning, going to the gym. I read in the morning. I have my quiet time. A day can start anywhere from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. It really doesn't matter, because I have people that work in different time zones. We all are sort of fluctuating in and out. Working into the afternoon, I have my personal time and my work time that I carefully blend the two. nighttime can get sometimes difficult because living this lifestyle, it is a little bit difficult sometimes to delineate between the work and the home. But eventually you figure it out. And if you do it well, it can be a great way to live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, from my observing you, you do it well. And I know that your company is tremendously successful and that you have some wonderful clients that you do valuable work for. And, this is early on in my podcasting and interviewing career here, but you are spot on to what we are all about at High Performance Living. Okay. You're living your work and your leisure, your health and your business, your family, it's all combined into one lifestyle. And that's really kind of my passion of studying it and learning about it and trying to improve it and sharing it with others on how to do that. And kind of on that line of sharing with others, let's jump back in time now to your youth. And, you're right now, you've got a fair amount of success going. And I think a lot of people would be pretty envious of you and your lifestyle, but you know, you didn't just land there. You had to work your way up there. So like take me back to where it began with you. And did you have any inklings of this growing up? Were you always wanting to be an entrepreneur, or, you know, what's the story on where you came from and how you got to where you're going?
I'll tell you, Mike, the thing that probably was the wake up call to me more than anything else is back in 1997, I was working for a company. I was very young, but very, very successful. I was just finishing up my MBA and everything. I couldn't imagine that life could have been any better at that point. The company divested a large division, and my position was, for the most part, eliminated. And even though I knew that I had some runway still left with the company and there was lots of other opportunities, I really realized that I don't control anything in my life. I'm totally subservient to someone else who is signing my paycheck, and they were out negotiating a divestiture of the division that I was working in, and everything was hung in the balance. It was totally up to them, and I decided at that point that I could not live that way anymore. I wanted to be in control as much as I could. So what I realized was that we were outsourcing a lot of things as the divestiture was happening. The key to this to me was that I needed to find some area where I had skill and that I was unique in the trade or whatever the talent happened to be. And at that time, I realized that we were using small little independent agencies that were very nimble and very small. They had very little overhead. They were able to turn projects very quickly. So I decided that I was going to try to open my own agency to be one of those individual contractors. When I made the leap, it was scary. It really was. Scared half to death. It was the old adage of jump and then figure out how to grow wings afterwards. I really had no idea that I was going to be able to do it. But what happened was is I learned how to be aggressive. I learned how to rise to the occasion. Sometimes out there selling it, not really sure whether I was going to be able to deliver it, quite frankly. But through trial and error, I learned that I had to be tenacious, I had to be aggressive, I had to be accountable for what I was doing, but it worked. There was some luck in there.
Well,
let me just jump in.
Let me just dig a little bit deeper, delve deeper into that. So you're working for a company, you have a good job, and they're going to eliminate your position. And you have the smarts and the courage enough to get your own thing going, but a lot of people have been there. They get to that point in time, but you know, what was it? Do you know where it came from? I mean, how did you really get the guts to go out there and you know, face the uncertainty and, you know, on not just income, but on, you know, just getting it done and your professional reputation and everything. I mean, do you have any idea like where that came from? Were you born with that? Was that something that somebody instilled on you as a kid? I mean, where did you get the ability to get to that edge and then jump off it?
Well, it's a great question, Mike, and I do. I know exactly where that came from. It came from someone down the line told me fear is something that can either be beneficial to you or it can destroy you. And I was afraid of making that step because I was afraid of what was going to happen. And what I did in my mind, and it sounds a little hokey now that I think back about it, but I truly did. I turned fear around, and I used fear as a motivating force for me. I was afraid that other people were making decisions for me and were determining my fate. I didn't want that to happen to me. I wanted to be in control. If I fail, I wanted to be responsible for it. I didn't want to be someone else telling me that your job is going to be gone or downsized or changed. You're going to have to move to some horrible place that you don't want to live. I wanted to be in control of those things. And so turn fear around. And it's scary. It really is. It's a very impersonal world out there when you're no longer, you know, with a large firm that has all of that, you know, all of that cushion underneath you. I mean, you're out there by yourself. And so it was a scary thing, but it was fear. It's turning it around as a positive for me.
Let me tell you, I'm gonna just kind of shout that out and make sure that people that are listening, you know, when we get something golden that comes out, you gotta pause and make sure, as Jim Rohn would say, that you absorb it, okay? And I think that's powerful what you just said. That, you know, the fear was there. We all feel the fear, okay? That's what I was talking about. Getting up to it. You have a good idea is one thing. You got to be smart and all that. A lot of people have them. You got to that line, and what you just said is tremendous. You used fear as the motivating force, and I think that's something the listeners really need to absorb and take to heart, because it's going to be fearful when you step into a new territory, and you know, you can let that fear rule you, or you can let it motivate you, and that's certainly what you did.
Absolutely.
So I congratulate you on that. So let's go now a little bit. You were mentioning that you mentioned something about somebody telling you where you had to live and things like that. I understand that you live in Southwest Florida.
That is correct.
Do you have any clients in Southwest Florida? Are your clients are globally, and you're just you just choose to live here for lifestyle?
You know, I'll tell you something. A funny story is when. Years and years ago, I was hanging out with some friends, and we all decided that we wanted to get away. And we had heard stories, whether they were really true or not, of somebody literally taking a map and spinning it and dropping the finger and saying, we're going to move there. And we truly did that. Now, the first time, it was halfway in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, so it didn't work out there too well. But we ended up hitting Naples. And I said, guys, I have a grandmother that lives in Naples. How perfect. So we literally packed up our cars. We were all bartenders and had done different things all through college. Moved down there, realized that Naples was way too expensive for any of us to survive. So we found this little town of Fort Myers, and it was this small little quaint little place. We all lived on the beach and wanted to live the summer and live a wild lifestyle. And I was the only one that ended up staying. And I just found it to be a place where it was fun and exciting, and it was beautiful. The weather's just absolutely a dream come true. Moved away and then ended up coming back, just because you got to live somewhere. And the part of that fear was having to live in a town where it was either cold or miserable or something like that. I didn't want that. There's some fantastic advertising agencies all over the globe in cities that I would absolutely hate to live in. But I wanted to be able to make those decisions on my own. Now, definitely, it's much more profitable if our agency was based in a larger city, a little bit more centrally located. So we do absorb some additional expense on travel and things like that. But don't ever have a really hard time getting clients to come from places like Chicago or Connecticut to Fort Myers in February. So it's not so bad.
Right. So I imagine, are you jumping on planes a lot to do your business, or you do it all over the phone and internet, or how's that work?
You know, it's amazing. It's after the initial face-to-face, there's so many clients that are comfortable with doing teleconferencing, and we do some video conferencing, but after a while, it just gets kind of weird, and we do everything over the phone. Certainly very reactive to clients' needs if I have to be on a plane, and that does happen quite a bit. And I'm very lucky to have several clients that are based on retainer. So there's a consistent, constant workflow that we do, and it makes it a little bit easier. But, yeah, I would probably say 2 weeks out of the month I'm on the road.
All right. And do you still work out and get a lot of leisure time while you're doing that? Does it still continue, or is it all? Yep. Nice. I have.
So
to
you know what?
That,
so that's the other thing.
Sure.
You can do that when you run the show. See, that's this whole idea. You don't book your hotel only just because it's right next door to your client's office. you book your hotel because it has a great gym, or it's located in an area that's fun to go out and have fun and, you know, go out for dinner or whatever. That's that sort of blending between personal work and fun. You know, you have to think that way. You can have a miserable trip and make difficult flights, but yet why do that to yourself? It just becomes miserable. I can't live that way.
Love it. Let me ask you about the future. What is your vision for the company in the years ahead?
You know, it's interesting. The agency business is brutal, and we're constantly fighting and constantly having to regenerate and rebrand ourselves because the agency world is constantly shifting. Someone once told me that the day you start losing an account is the day after that you got them as your account, because you're constantly having to and it's the truth. It's funny. You have to always live up to what you have initially gone in and told people that you can do. That's sort of what I was referring to earlier, that, you know, sometimes I oversell ourselves and then we try to go into the back room and figure out exactly how to do it. But as the agency continues to evolve, it's becoming much more digital and social, and things like Facebook and all of that. The world is moving in that direction. Part of the reason why you have to be careful and absorbing too much fun and, you know, a whole lot less work is that you become a bit complacent and you kind of get stuck into your ways. So one of the keys to continue to be able to grow and continue to live this way is you have to continue to educate yourself. You have to stay on the cutting edge. If you get behind just a little bit, it becomes very obvious.
Love it. Love it. Good advice. Good stuff. Tell me a little bit about you and what you like to do to relax, sports, hobbies, passions, what's away from the work.
Yeah. Well, I have a amazing family. I have a wife and a daughter that I honestly never thought that I would want to have kids. And after we had her, she's become the center of everything good in my life. And so first and foremost,
beautiful.
I love to spend time with them. And I love
beautiful.
To see a little young lady developing. It's just, I never really thought that. In fact, it's funny. I told her yesterday, she sang at a little fundraiser and with a little choir, and she came walking and I said, I cannot believe that your mother and I produced something. She's 11. So we're right on that edge. And so, no, she will never like boys, and no, she'll never talk back to us. Something tells me that's not true. But no, I like to work out. I also make that a core part of my life, and I make it obvious to those that surround me that that's always going to be part of my life, and I refuse to bend or break on that one. I feel like as we get older, we can stay sharp and we can stay motivated if we feel good about ourselves. And I always tell everybody in our group, I say, who says there's no I in team? To have a team, there has to be an I, because I have to have something, or reason why I'm there. So you have to think about yourself. And if you think about yourself and you satisfy those core needs of yourself, you're a better team member. And it's a different way of looking at things, but you have to make sure that you're thinking about yourself and taking care of yourself, because if you're not, you're not going to be a good link in that chain. So that's always important
beautiful.
To me, working out and staying in shape and eating healthy.
Yep.
And I love to travel. I like to travel with business, but I certainly love to travel personal as well.
The business, from what I understand, affords you business trips to some exotic locations, does it not?
I did. We were actually, so I had the very interesting opportunity to try to put together a nonprofit organization a few years ago that would help out small little rum groups down all throughout the Caribbean. And unfortunately, one of the really large groups completely squashed us, but it was exciting trying to get it going, because we were going to go in and help the small little rum shops that were all over the Caribbean kind of become part of a large organization, a nonprofit organization that would help them go out and market themselves all over the world. So it's called the West Indian Rum Association. And going into these tiny little islands that are just beautiful and pristine, and meeting these people that have been passing down this, you know, three generations of this same recipe that they've been using to produce rum. It was incredible to meet these people, that all this passion that they have, and they're doing what they truly love. They just really needed to make money doing it. So we were going to try to help them out. So that's probably been one of my favorite just truly meeting people that were so passionate about what they're doing, and they're really not making any money doing it. They're barely even surviving, but they're happy as can be. That's and many others. Neat cities and neat places.
Yep. I know part of your job is putting together conventions in exotic locations, and you have to go out and scout out the hotels, do you not?
Terrible. Awful. It's miserable.
I've always been jealous to hear about when you go down to these islands and you're getting wooed by the managers that want you to bring in the convention. That's got to be hard work, huh? Pretty rough.
Yeah, it's it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. But I'm going to tell you something.
Yep.
It's really glamorous at first, but when you've got 200 people and you're spending $300,000 and they need to arrive on site and feel that it is the whole entire resort has been just absorbed into their experience, to be able to create something like that, it's exciting. In looking for the locations and going down a week early, and yes, everything's paid for and yada, yada, yada. But really, when the rubber hits the road, you're only going to get that account the following year if you absolutely blow it away that year. And so it's exciting, but it's definitely it's tough. And you have to constantly be thinking about your clients and their needs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's how you continue to get referrals. I've never advertised that part of my business. I've all had it from referrals from back for almost 10 years now.
Yep, love it, love it. Well, listen, you definitely embody the type of person we're looking for on this show, and that in our motto of, you know, just living your vision and living it in all forms, work, leisure, and everything. So I congratulate you on that. You got any unusual projects or things in the works that you want to share with us? Got anything that you're working on out there that you want to take a final moment and share with us? Not sure if we've lost connection with you. You still there, Scotty? We're having a little technical difficulty, but that's not bad. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap this up. I think I was going to come back and like to finish the show by asking a little bit of advice on it, but I think the morsel you told us about using fear as a motivator is phenomenal. I think that's the big message that we can take from this call today. I want to thank Scott Fisher of Strategic Resources of South Florida, and I want to thank my listeners. And with that, I'm going to sign off.
Thanks for listening to The Art of High Performance Living. As your gift, I'll be happy to send you my best-selling book, Ignite Your Life. Co-authored by Brian Tracy and dozens of other leading entrepreneurs, sign up at imhighperformance.com or send me an email, mike@imhighperformance.
This copyrighted podcast is presented to you by Iron Mike Stone and the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network.